In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant, it's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Welcome to the Red State Town Hall program. I'm your host, Primo Maldoni. My co-host, Ken Brown, will join in a couple of minutes. Please visit the show's website at redstatetownhall.com. While you're there, be sure to like us on both Facebook and Twitter. If you wish to contact us, the email address is Primo, P-R-E-M-O, at redstatetownhall.com. Our show is broadcast here on Red State Talk Radio, America's premier grassroots conservative internet talk radio network. The show is also syndicated through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podomatic, TalkStream Live, Player.fm, Roku, and at least a dozen other websites. You can listen to the station using their Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry apps. Visit the station's website, RedStateTalkRadio.com, to download the appropriate app for your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, you can listen using any phone on the station's 24/7 listener line provided by TalkStream Live by dialing the following. For Studio A, 605-562-4209, and for Studio B, 518-712-0045. We start the show, let's give a shout out to our AM, FM, and digital affiliates, WDDQ, FM 92.1, Adel, Georgia, WSFB, 1490 AM, Talk 97.7 FM, Whitman, Georgia.
What are you doing, kid?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I thought you had my thing muted.
No, I don't have you muted. I'm sorry.
Okay. just getting situated so I can...
I heard all this popping and cracking going on.
Just trying to get myself comfortable, but I guess I won't do that anymore.
Okay, I'm sorry. WJNW, AM 1680, Hermitage, Tennessee, Talk Radio, AM 1620, KTFL, Gilbert, Arizona, WMQL Radio, FM 105.5, Brevard, North Carolina, Kaufman County Talk Radio, AM 1680, KCTR, Terrell, Texas, Taxville Radio, Gainesville, Georgia, WCNR Digital, West Virginia, and K98Talk.com. With that, let's bring on our noisy co-host, Mr. Ken Brown.
You know, I just went to, you told me to go to JebBush.com.
Yeah, right.
And up pops Donald Trump's website. Yeah. I'm still laughing.
Yeah, it makes you wonder who the hell's in charge over the Bush campaign.
I mean, it's a big picture of Donald Trump that first pops up. Trump has got Bush's number, doesn't he?
Well, he did the other night, that's for sure. And he's pretty much, I think, had his number most of the season here, most of the campaign. let's just go ahead. We'll go ahead and... let's talk about the debate right off the bat. We got some other stuff we're going to talk about, but let's go ahead and get the debate since that happened earlier in the week. Just kind of start there. Some pretty good moments during the debate. I guess the two that stand out the most where the Cruz Rubio immigration debate, so to speak, and then also the fact that Donald Trump has said that he's not going to run as a third party. He kind of, you know, because he's been going back and forth on that for the last several months. And I think he realizes that he has a big enough lead now, he can go ahead and say that and not have to worry about it. Think about it. The last poll, by the way, a poll came out, Ken, after the debate, and Trump has increased his lead. And I'm not talking about a small amount. I think it was 11 points? Is that correct? 11 points?
Something to that effect. But you're right. I mean, the first one, we were talking about this for the show. Weren't they, before Trump got in, Bush was number one.
Oh, yeah.
And then Trump got in, and they were pretty close to each other. Even Trump had a slight lead or something. But now look at it. And he's right when he told Bush the other night. He said, "Jeb, I'm 42 and you're 3. He says, pretty soon you're going to be off the stage."
Yeah, I think so. And think about it. If you look at the current polls, there's only 4 people that even have a ghost of a chance in this race, at least unless something really big happens. I mean, you got Trump, Cruz, Rubio, and Carson. And Carson is now in the single digits, but he's at like 9. Everybody else is at 3 or below.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Rand Paul, Chris Christie, Kasich, Fiorina even, they're all 3 or below. And you know what? If they've not caught fire by now, I don't think they're going to.
This is how much has changed. I watch Brett Baer and his little panel, every night, pretty much. And Krauthammer's on there along with whoever else he has. But Krauthammer, at the very end of the show, they usually say, well, okay, percentage-wise, they have their little chips, like poker chips.
They have the candidate casino, they call it, I think.
Yeah. And Krauthammer has, he had like $5 on, or 5% or whatever, on Trump in the beginning. And now he's got Trump at 35%.
Yeah.
And what do you think, Primo? You think that... I mean, I know that we haven't even had Iowa yet, but
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, do you think Trump is the man to beat here, or do you think it's just we're all it's too early to tell type thing?
Well, I mean, I think if I'm not mistaken, we're about 6-7 weeks away from Iowa.
Yeah,
and a couple of polls show that Cruz is ahead. One of them shows that he's ahead by 10 points in Iowa. But the Iowa caucuses are a different animal. It's not the same thing as a statewide primary. And so is New Hampshire. Well, New Hampshire, yeah, those early states are kind of strange, let's just be honest. But thing is, let's just say Cruz wins Iowa, which that would go more along with the people in Iowa, I would think. But Trump's leading in New Hampshire and in South Carolina. So at the end of the first 3 primaries, you should have maybe Cruz with 1 win, Trump with probably 2. Now, what normally happens after South Carolina is everybody starts dropping out, because Iowa and New Hampshire, like I say, are kind of different animals. But South Carolina is a traditional primary state, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And it's in the South, and trust me, if you can't do well in the South, you're not going to do well in the Republican Party.
That's true.
So once South Carolina comes up, well, first of all, I think some of these people will be out before South Carolina. I believe that. I don't see how some of these people just don't have the money. I just don't see how in the world they expect to stay in up until South Carolina. I know that Chris Christie's banking everything on New Hampshire. He's not. I don't even know if he's even going to Iowa. And Bush, that's the only place he's really going to do well is New Hampshire. He is not going to do well in South Carolina. I can tell you that 100% right now. He is not going to win or even do well in South Carolina. And I don't think he's going to do well in Iowa either.
Neither will Lindsey Graham in South Carolina.
Lindsey Graham. Well, we even talked about the guys on the undercard, you know, those guys. But I don't see Kasich. Kasich is not going to do well in any of those three states. So I don't know how the hell he can expect to be in the race. I mean, these people just need to wake up and realize this is not going to happen for them. And they need to pick sides and maybe go out and start campaigning for the other, for somebody else. For example, Fiorina, bless her heart. I mean, the thing about her is I wish she was polling better. And she was at one point. But what I'm getting at is, every time she opens her mouth, she says something smart. That woman is a smart cookie, and she knows what she's doing. At least she seems she does. I mean, she may have me fooled, but I think she really is a very sharp individual. And she should be, I think she should definitely be considered in the running for vice VP, no matter who gets the ticket.
Nomination. That's a good point, because they talking about this, I don't know, Fox or someplace, about vice presidents, and they were saying if the nominee is Bush, not Bush, Rubio or Cruz, then who do you go for VP? And they were saying, well, it really doesn't matter for them two, but if they're not the nominees, if it's not Cruz or Rubio, then Cruz or Rubio would be you have to have one of those as your vice president.
Because of the Hispanic vote.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that would lean toward Rubio because Rubio's from Florida. So
right.
You got to win Florida, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And you got to win Ohio too. But you know what? I don't think, in case it could help you win Ohio, but I don't think he helps you anywhere else.
No.
So the good thing about Rubio, he helps you in Florida, but he also helps you in other states that have high Hispanic population. So now Fiorina, for example, if Trump wins, let's say Trump gets the nomination, I think Fiorina would be a good fit for him. And I'll tell you why.
That would be a good that would be a good fit for Rubio or Cruz.
Well, yeah, it could be. Yeah, exactly. Actually, she would fit in with several of those guys. But here's what I'm getting at is with Trump, think about this. We all know Trump is a counterpuncher. He has proven himself that he can hold his own with just about anybody because of just the way he's so blunt and whatever, you know. But think about this. Who on that stage, think about everybody on that stage, Who do you think is the best attack dog? Because what a vice president normally does in a campaign is they attack the front runner on the other side. In other words, Hillary. It would most likely be Hillary. Yeah. Who would do a better job at attacking Hillary and her policies and her lying and her everything? Who would be the number one person to do that?
No doubt. Carly's she's a pit bull.
She's a pit bull. Yeah, exactly. She's a pit bull. And she has been more aggressive
against Hillary. Throat and helm.
She's been more aggressive against Hillary than anybody. She comes right out and says she's a liar. Straight out calls her a liar.
She is.
And she is. But, I mean, some of the other people won't do that. And she's been doing that since day one. So, yeah. I mean, you know, think about that. You've got her doing that, attacking Hillary nonstop. And then you've got Trump out there, and every time Hillary comes up with something, Trump fires back with something. I mean, Hillary be getting hit hard from both sides. Because normally what happens is the person who gets the nomination would take the high road, and they would be trying to, it's like a John McCain, like, oh, he's a wonderful guy, and she's a, you know, whatever, and she's a black guy. Trump would do that. So you'd have a you know, and you know what? You do that for several months. At some point, that stuff kind of starts sticking on you, you know?
It would make, if Carly was the VP nominee, then Hillary's going to have to address it. You know, she doesn't address Carly right now.
No.
And but she would have to with Carly was the VP. I wish they could be on the same stage, but they wouldn't. But
no. Hillary's VP would be, which I God only knows. Oh, by the way, let's talk about the Democrat debate just real briefly. Don't you find it odd, Ken, that the Democrats had their debate on Saturday night? Saturday night, the last Saturday night, the last weekend before Christmas, the weekend that Star Wars is coming out, the weekend where they have a rather unusual NFL game on a Sunday, with all the stuff going on a Saturday, if you wanted people to watch your debate and you're the Democratic Party, would you schedule it this Saturday? Yesterday? No. Would you have done that? No, you would not. So the answer is they don't want anybody watching the debate. And I don't think very many people did. I didn't, that's for sure. I had better things to do. So I'm sure. I mean, I don't know, but they're hiding. They're hiding Hillary. They're hiding the entire debate thing. And plus, they're having far fewer debates than the Republicans are. And what?
It's a joke.
It's a joke. Oh, and by the way, we didn't have this on the notes, but Bernie Sanders, somehow there was some kind of deal about getting into the voter database or something, and Hillary camp was all tore up about it. I haven't read all the stuff, just some headlines. But Bernie Sanders was going to sue the Democrat Party over this voter database thing. And now supposedly they've all kissed and made up. But at one point, though, Hillary's camp and Bernie Sanders' camp was going at tooth and nail. And they actually got Bernie to apologize to Hillary during the debate on Saturday night. So, it was no big deal. But, I mean, I saw the clip of it. And but what I'm getting at is when you got one candidate suing the national committee, the Democrat National Committee, that's not a good thing, at least in terms of trying to get your message out. Whatever.
No.
Let's see.
So, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Right now, what do you think? Before Iowa, I know we're 6 weeks out or whatever, but what do you think? Not just Iowa, or I'm talking about the whole thing. You think who's your man? Who do you think's going to win? I won't say who's your man. I know who your man is, but who do you think's going to win? If you had to pick somebody today,
If I had to lay money on it,
yep.
Yeah, if I had to lay money on real money on it, I'm thinking Trump. I don't see, unless he explodes, implodes, whatever, or just gets the hell out because he's bored, which I don't know. He's having a lot of fun. I don't think he's going to get bored.
I think that's exactly my point, is that it's Trump's to lose.
Yeah.
But I think the only way he loses it is if he gives it up. If he says, you know what, I'm getting out of this. I think that, you know, he'll somehow use some sort of a excuse. I don't know. And he'll say, I just don't want to do this, you know, whatever. And, remember we talked about this before. I just think he got into this thing. I don't think he expected to have this kind of following.
I don't think he did either. I honestly don't think he thought it would go this way. I thought he would just. I almost think as if it was just a publicity stunt and it was an ego thing. You know, what the hell? I'll run for president.
Well, it builds up the Trump name, you know.
Oh yeah.
And it's good publicity, like you said. And I think that's what he got into it for. I don't think it was ever to make this country great again, even though that's what he says, but. I think it really is his to lose because of what's going on in Washington right now. And this stupid omnibus bill that just got passed, it's more of the same. People are tired of that.
Yeah, 22, by the way, 2,200 pages, $1.8 trillion. It's a Democratic Party's wet dream, this budget is. We Rush Limbaugh says that the Republican Party sold America down the river on this budget, and he's right.
He is right. What in what world do you pass bills that are over 2,000 pages long? In this world, in this Congress, you do that. Obamacare, this omnibus bill, it's ridiculous.
And nobody had a chance to read the thing. Literally, they were voting on it either. Some people got copies of it the day before, but some people did not get copies of it until the day of the vote.
And
this is not the way, that's not the way you're supposed to run government. And the whole thing, Rush brought up a good point. I was listening to some of his show this week, and he brought up a good point. He said, the Republicans say, oh, this is the best we could do. It was a last-minute thing. It was a crunch time. You know, we had to have it done by this date, blah, blah, blah. He said, how come, he said, when the Democrats are in charge, they don't ever have this problem? It's only when the Republicans are in charge. In other words, think about it. They knew this date was coming. This budget deadline has been coming. This budget deadline's been coming for weeks, months, hell, years even. I mean, everybody knows when the budget has to be done. Everybody knows that. And so waiting until the last minute, they do that just to use it as an excuse to do whatever the hell they want.
I can't understand and never will understand why they put so much crap into one bill. And don't tell me that, well, they have to do that because it saves time and they can't vote everything one by one. Well, at least knock it down to five things in a bill. It's got to be a reasonable number, but 2,000 pages? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And I'm voting for Trump. You know, if he's the nominee, I'm voting for him. I'll be the first one at the poll.
Well, here's the thing. Electing Trump won't fix this. I mean,
this is a problem.
It'll send a message. It'll definitely send a message. And the thing is, we were talking about this before we started going on the air, but again, Rush brought this up, and I agree with this. He says that the Republican Party has convinced themselves. I'm talking about the mainstream elite Washington, D.C. Republican Party. I'm not talking about, you know, grassroots kind of folks. They have decided that the way to win elections is to run toward the middle, to be Democrat light, so that you pick up these willy-nilly people in the middle who can't make up their mind to the last second as to who they're going to vote for. They are abandoning the conservative base of the Republican Party in hopes of getting this mushy middle. And that gets proven over and over again by what they keep doing over and over again. They keep screwing us. They keep screwing the conservatives in the Republican Party left and right over and over and over again. There's no doubt whose side they're on. Mm-hmm. None at this point. And I feel betrayed, and this thing, there was only one good thing that came out of this budget that I've seen thus far, only one, and that's that they got rid of the prohibition for exporting oil and gas and stuff, that now we can export our oil and gas to other countries. Before, we weren't able to do that, so that's a good thing. But other than that, you'd be hard pressed to find anything else good about this thing.
You own 2/3 of the government, and it didn't feel like it. It feels like we're back when Obama took over, and you know, we had no branches of the government. I don't understand it, Primo. I don't. I mean, I'm beginning to wonder now. You get the presidency. You know, let's just say Rubio gets in, or whoever. And I'm thinking, okay, you got three branches now, which I don't think has ever happened. Has it?
Well, here's the thing. When Ronald Reagan was president, he did not have the House. He had the Senate. He did not have the House. And he got things done.
Yeah.
So what this whole excuse of, well, we only have the Senate and the House. We don't have the White House, so we can't get anything done. Bull.
Yes.
Give me a break.
Yes.
Look at what the Democrats have done. Look what Obama has done when he didn't have everything he wanted. At the start, he had everything he wanted. He had the House, he had the Senate, and whatever. But now he doesn't have the House. Now he doesn't have the Senate. He still gets things done. Sometimes through executive order, but he gets it done.
Is it because of the past? Is this what it all boils down to, Primo? Is it because he gets the past because he's a black man?
That, I think there's absolutely no doubt this guy would have been impeached already if he were white. I mean, I hate saying that, but I think it's the honest God's truth.
They won't touch him. They won't touch him because they're afraid of the backlash of, you know, the racist label.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I've said about that.
I've said before, apparently being a racist is worse than being a child molester. I mean,
it is here. It is now.
It is now in this day and age. I mean,
I don't even remember race being a big factor in my life. I remember as growing up as a kid, I remember it being, in the 60s, I remember, I can remember stuff.
Yeah, it was out there. There was examples of racism. We saw it, but I mean, it was.
Yeah, but I mean, now it seems like it's like a bad cloud hanging over us.
See, here's the thing. It's not a bad cloud hanging over the country. It's being purposely seen that way because we're reminded on every single thing that happens, race is somehow a factor. And that's because it serves to push forward their agenda. I don't think race has. I think it's a minor thing at this point. At least it used to be before this guy got in the White House, and he's now made it a major issue.
Oh yeah, everybody around him has too.
Yeah. Hey, we're running late. Let's go ahead and go to break. We'll be back in just a few minutes. This is the Red State Town Hall. We appreciate you listening. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jeff Carlisi from the band 38 Special. The mainstream media has failed the American people once again. Internet radio networks like Red State Talk Radio will not fail you. Tune in 24 hours a day, studios A and B. Great conservative programming around the clock. Red State Talk Radio, the dominant force in internet conservative talk radio.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom36.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 36.com. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom36.com.
Do you use Viagra or Cialis? Have you been thinking about trying Viagra or Cialis? What if we could promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for Viagra, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add 4 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call 800-610-3497 and get your 44 pills for $99. Stop overpaying for Viagra. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in an unmarked package. Call us right now. 800-610-3497. 800-610-3497. That's 800-610-3497.
If you're diabetic, this message could change your life. Is your blood sugar out of control even when you do all the right stuff? Are you afraid of diabetic blindness and the risk of amputation, as well as all those other side effects? Well, you should be. Is there anything that could help manage your blood sugar? Nobedes is a natural supplement that may quickly and dramatically lower your blood sugar.
My name is Bob Corder. I've been using Nobedes for about 3.5 to 4 months now. And in the first 3 months, I've actually lowered my blood sugars from 500s down to 139, and then it dropped to 88 to 93.
My name is Kirsten. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and while taking Nobedes, my blood sugar levels dropped from 295 to 115 in just one day.
The FDA hasn't evaluated these statements, and Nobedes isn't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But for many, it's helped drop their blood sugar. So if you've been evaluated with high blood sugar, don't delay. Evaluate Nobedes now. Call 800-554-7159 and get two bottles free. Just cover shipping and handling. Call 800-554-7159. That's 800-554-7159.
Hi, this is Primo Mondoni, General Manager for Red State Talk Radio. We've been bringing you the very best in grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio for over 5 years now. One thing I've learned in those 5 years is that internet radio is a tough, competitive business. And if the station is going to advance that next level, it's going to require a significant increase in investments in both personnel and infrastructure. Our listenership grew by 42% in 2014, and with our ever-expanding listener base, it's time that we begin the move to a more listener-supported model provide the station's future financial needs. Therefore, we're asking our loyal listeners to consider making a donation to help us reach our goals. Monthly subscriptions begin at only $2 per month. So please, help us restore conservative principles to our republic. Visit our website and become a Red State Talk Radio supporter today.
Red State Talk Radio. The Talk Monster.
The path to restoring our republic was laid down by our founding fathers. The principles of freedom, liberty, personal responsibility, and limited government are conservative ideals we will never abandon.
America is listening.
Grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio. It's on the internet. Tune in now. Red State Talk Radio, featuring some of the most popular internet talk show hosts in America today. Are you listening? RedStateTalkRadio.com.
Okay, we're back. You know, I mentioned that Rush Limbaugh had an article that I posted on Red State Talk Radio where it says that the GOP sold America down the river. On his radio show, and I think in this article, he actually calls for the disbandment of the Republican Party. Now, that is some heavy stuff.
He's ticked.
And like he said, he can't imagine that it's as if Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi were still in charge the way this bill went through. And that's because, matter of fact, someone referred to this budget as a budget battle. And I pointed out to someone else and said, this was not a budget battle. This was total capitulation by the Republican Party. There was no battle. They gave the Democrats virtually everything they wanted. I mean, you like I said, you can only point to one or two things that are positive. Everything else is... they fully funded Obamacare. They gave all this money for the immigration and bringing in the Syrians and all that stuff. All that stuff's in there. I mean, this thing is loaded up like a freaking Christmas tree. It is. There is nothing that... I mean...
It's depressing.
And we're just spending this money like we do, like it's going out of style, and that there's
never stops. One talks about that.
I
no
know
one talks about the debt.
$1.8 trillion down another $1.8 trillion bucks down the tubes.
Then it's spending money we don't even have.
You know, the sad thing is, and we've talked about this before, Ken, we're going to be dead, and of course, this stuff will never be paid for. But our kids and our grandkids will never pay for this. They cannot. It cannot be done. The math has gotten so out of hand now, we cannot grow our economy fast enough to get out of this. Somebody at some point is going to have to look the American people in the eye and say, look, we can't do this anymore. we're going to have to start cutting programs. We not only are we going to have to start cutting the growth of programs, we're going to have to actually start slicing programs, getting rid of programs entirely, programs that don't work. And the duplication of programs, we talked about this before, been months ago since we kind of went into this, but there are multiple agencies that are doing the same thing. It's nuts. This government has gotten so huge. It's a behemoth. And it needs to be stripped down. I mean,
I mean, it's got into health care, you're in education. I mean, it's not just Democrats. It's Republicans too.
They're just as guilty. The Republican Party's lost its way about the whole idea of being fiscally conservative and being, you know, smaller government. Give me a break.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. That Republican Party's been dead for at least 10 years.
I wish somebody in the ask a question about, what are you going to do about the debt? What are you going to do about this almost $19 trillion in debt we're in right now?
You know what? That's a good point. I don't remember a single question.
Not one.
The debt from anybody on any debate.
Not one. Not one.
I don't remember a single
one. I can tell you a good way to start is to go for the fair tax. Because it's start right there.
Yeah, that's where we need to do a fair tax show one of these days. You know, maybe we'll do it. We'll try maybe this do it this next April when the tax stuff comes around. Just do a complete show on nothing but the fair tax, maybe, or something. But yeah, that would be a start, and that would help. But that still does not get rid of all the exorbitant spending we're doing, and this whole thing of proposing a 2,000-page bill and then everybody having to vote on it who haven't read it. By the way, check your U.S. senators, check your House of Representatives, and look at all the traitors who voted for this thing. And they voted for this thing, Ken, without even reading this. This has got to stop. I mean, they voted on Obamacare without... I mean, nobody read the Obamacare bill either.
Nope.
Nobody read this thing. And this happens all the time. This is no way to run a government, ladies and gentlemen.
There is no transparency. Behind closed doors... And then they throw it into people's laps. Here, vote on this.
Well, see, what's supposed to happen is committees are supposed to get together, and they're supposed to talk about what needs to be done, and then they're supposed to the committees vote on it, then it comes to the floor, and then the floor votes on it, and blah, blah, blah. That does not get done anymore. They don't do that at all. Literally, three or four or five guys get together, quote, in a smoke-filled room, and decide what the hell they're going to do, and then they just have it typed up, printed up, and lay it down and go, okay, let's vote on this thing. That's the way it's done now. And that's stupid beyond imagination.
No, I'm totally depressed now, Primo. Thank you.
Yeah, I am too. Hell, it is so frustrating.
I mean,
And the thing is, no matter who we vote for, whether it be Trump or Cruzio Trump or Cruz or Rubio. Cruzio, that's who we need to run. That's who we need to have. Cruzio. Yeah. I don't know if they can make it. I think it's got so bad that it may not really matter.
I think the only person that really says anything about it is Rand Paul.
Yeah, you're right.
And he says, you know, we have a debt that's $1 million a minute. Yep. And, you know, you put the debt clock on the website, and I hate looking at that thing. It's like a fan, you know. It's so depressing. I think, you know, at some point, you got to pay the piper. And I don't know what point that is, but.
We're past that point.
Why wait till then? I mean, why wait till the. S hits the fan. Like you said, it won't. I don't think it's going to happen in our lifetime, but our kids, grandkids, it's something's going to happen, something bad. And they kick the can down the road, they keep kicking the can, and they make it worse and worse and worse.
Yeah. I tell you what, we need Calvin Coolidge. I've said this before, Calvin Coolidge, the way he got out of his problems with the nation's economy, he came into office and he cut spending 50%. I'm not talking about he cut the increase in spending 50%. He cut spending 50% and he cut taxes 50%. And within 12 to 18 months, the economy was roaring.
Yeah.
And nobody has those kind of cojones these days.
You're right. That's what we need.
Nobody has. You know what? The only person, and I hate to say this, the only person I think that even would come close to having cojones is Trump.
Yeah.
And I think Trump could sell it. He's a master salesman. I think he could sell it to the American people. He'd say, look, I'm in charge now, and this is what we're going to do.
Well, I mean, he's got the business experience that people would believe it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you can't just keep doing this. You can't run a business like this. We need to run our country like we run a business. And on that part, I would agree with him 100% on that.
I agree with that. Yes.
And so, yeah, I'd say, okay, we're gonna cut taxes. We're going to cut spending. Now, whether or not we could do 50%, that would just be draconian, I think. But hell, if we just,
you make a dent, you got to make a dent.
Yeah. What if we just did 10%? Let's think about this. Could we all survive with whatever government programs you're getting assistance from, Ken, whether or not you're getting food stamps or whether or not you're getting help with your utilities, or you're getting help with, I mean, whatever you, what program you're on and whatever money you're getting from the federal government, could you get by with 90% of that? You know what I'm saying? In other words, just cut back 10% on all federal spending across the board, except maybe the military. And I know some people say, oh, you need to do the military too. And you know what? The reality is, when all this wasted spending in the military, I'm sure you could cut 10% and it probably wouldn't matter. If everybody did what they were supposed to do.
Sure you can do that.
And then at the same time say, okay, and while we're doing that, we're going to cut all taxes by X percent, assuming we didn't go to the fair tax, which, of course, this is something I really believe in. I think if Trump is the nominee, somebody from the fair tax people needs to get with Trump, and they need to convince him the fair tax is the way to go. Because, again, the fair tax has been around for 25 years, but it's been a hard sell because the right people hadn't got behind it.
But he could.
You get Trump behind the fair tax, I'm thinking it could actually become a reality. And
people that watch, people that don't watch debates, watch debates because of Trump.
Yep.
And he would expose people to this idea. And you're right. I think he could sell it.
Yep. See, like Huckabee's a fair tax guy, and you like him because of that, and I like him because of that. I don't think he's not my top choice, but I just like the fact that he's got fair tax. But Huckabee ain't on the main stage anymore, and he's not gaining really any traction or anything, and he's not going to win. But, if Trump were to get sold on fair tax, God, that would be a great thing for this country, assuming he were to win the nomination and go on to win the election.
I think that could be one of his platforms right now.
Yeah. Somebody needs to get to him. I'm telling you.
We have a good idea here.
I know. I don't know why.
Oh, somebody out there.
Hopefully somebody else has thought of this. Hopefully somebody in the fair tax movement has thought of this and thought, hey, this is our guy. Let's get explain this to him and make sure he understands it, and then he can sell it.
Well, even Herman Cain, you know, he had the 999 plan.
And that was a bridge to get you to the fair tax. Exactly. He was 100% fair tax, but he realized it couldn't be done immediately, you know.
He couldn't sell it. He couldn't sell the fair tax idea. Not the way he was, you know, the way it was.
The 999 thing was catching on, though.
Exactly. Well, it
was simple. People understood it.
Yeah. And it made sense. And the fair tax makes a whole lot of sense, too, if people don't. You know, they listen to the idiot politicians that go, oh, it'll never work.
Well, those idiot politicians have a vested interest in not changing the taxes.
Because
they're all getting rich because
they're making money. Yeah,
they're making money because they're getting money slipped into their pocket every time they go and get some kind of little caveat carved out in the thousands and thousands and thousands of pages of the IRS code.
Yes, because every year that the accountants have to go back to school to learn what the new loopholes are.
Go on.
It's not about new tax laws. It's about the loopholes because there are no law. I mean, they call them a law, but it's the new loopholes that are created.
It's literally changes in the code is what it is.
Yeah.
And those are done every single year. And I forget how many pages the tax code is now, but it's ungodly. It's ungodly.
Well, they had it Rand Paul commercial, him with a chainsaw, sawing it in half. It's 20,000 pages or something, some nutty thing.
And there's more added every single year. We need to work on this thing, Ken. That's a good idea. We need to talk. I tell you what, you give Trump a call and I'll give a call. And
if you go to JebBush.com, you get to his website.
Yeah, that'd be the first place to start, wouldn't it? Oh, Lord. Let's move on a couple other things. That fair tax thing, that's a good idea. And you people who are listening who don't know what the fair tax is, do yourself a favor. Do some homework. Look it up.
Yeah, look it up.
It's a national sales tax. It eliminates the IRS. It eliminates all kinds of crap. It is the absolute best way to go. It's the fairest way to go. It's why it's called the fair tax. And are you tired? Are you sick and tired of illegal immigrants not paying their fair share? Blah, blah, blah.
Drug dealers.
Taxes, drug dealers, whatever.
People got to buy stuff. The
fair tax fixes all that stuff.
People have to buy things, folks.
Yeah.
You want to get your whole paycheck, and you just pay your taxes when you go buy something. It's that simple.
Yeah, and you never have to fill out another single tax form, period.
No. And the IRS won't come knocking on your door.
And the IRS doesn't know how much money you've got in the bank, and every time you deposit more than $10,000, they don't get notified because it's none of their freaking business anymore.
And I said knock on the door. They can't beat your door down because they're the only ones that can do that without a warrant.
Yeah, and again, with the IRS, you're guilty until proven innocent.
Proven innocent, exactly. Yeah, it's up to you. I'm telling you, fair tax is the way to go. It takes so many crap out of the equation.
It gets a lot of money out of politics too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's a lot of money.
But it stimulates the economy. It'll stimulate the economy. I just don't see it. I don't understand why people don't get more involved in this.
Well, the thing is they're being lied to about the supposedly negative parts of the fair tax, which I don't think there are really any negative parts in my opinion. But think about this. Trillions of dollars of U.S. assets are sitting overseas because they don't want them to be taxed. If you implement the fair tax, guess what? All that money comes home.
Yeah.
And what would that do for the economy? What would that do for jobs? What would that do for wages? Think about that.
Yeah.
Good God.
It just makes sense. It's too much common sense is what it is.
Well, yeah, it's too much common sense. Let's move on. We only got about 5 minutes left.
Did you hear it? Can I just bring up something real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Did you hear what Loretta Lynch said about Muslims, about anti-rhetoric Muslim speech?
Yeah, I think we briefly mentioned this, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, she avows to prosecute anybody that has anti-Muslim speech. I mean, wait a minute. I thought the First Amendment said I could speak about anything.
It's supposed to protect political speech. Doesn't matter if it offends anybody or not. How can an attorney general even say that? In my opinion, she should have been impeached from her office when she said that.
Yeah.
The attorney general should know better to even breathe that, to even say that.
Does she get a pass because she's black too?
I guess so. And she's got a skirt, so don't forget that. I'm sorry.
Not a pantsuit.
Yeah, not, well, yeah.
Go ahead. I know you think.
I'm holding back.
All right.
There's a lot of things I want to say, but I won't.
Right, I'm sorry. I got you off your train of thought.
No, but it's true. I mean, it's true. I mean, that's ridiculous. That
it is. Like, you can't prosecute me for talking about anybody, but saying anything.
Well, you know, at some point, you're going to be prosecuted and risk jail time for what you think.
Yeah.
Not just, I mean, now it's what you say can get you in the pokey. But soon it's going to be what you think.
It's like Eric Erickson says, you'll be made to care. He said, you know, you can say you don't follow politics and that kind of thing, but at some point down the line, you're going to be made to care because they're going to make you care.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, there's a saying about for people who don't care about politics, at some point, somewhere down the line, you'll be forced to because of politics. You'll be because like I say, this deal that you can't say something against that's negative against Muslims, or you could be prosecuted by the federal government.
That's totally asinine to even say that. We have the First Amendment. Our whole Constitution is like that's it.
Our whole system of government's built on that. For freedom of speech,
I don't understand why a politician or a attorney general of all people would even say that.
Did you say the thing? I'm sure you probably did. It's on Facebook, Twitter, whatever. About one of these guys went out to one of these college campuses and was trying to get a petition signed up to get rid of the First Amendment.
Yes, and they were signing it.
And they were idiots.
They were signing it.
And you know what's so funny about that is if you were to get rid of the First Amendment, you would no longer be able to sign a petition. Think about that.
Yeah, I'm laughing, but it's not funny.
No, but I tell you, the morons we have in our college campuses these days.
Liberal.
I mean, you know, Ken, we went to college together, and we were not the – you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, when we were in college, but good God, we were that damn stupid, were we?
I don't think so.
Oh God,
I don't remember being that stupid.
I mean, if somebody come up with me when I was, I can remember. I know how I am, and if somebody come up with me about with a petition about getting rid of the First Amendment, I'd probably have punched them right in the nose. Oh God. Oh Lord,
it's frightening to see that's what's coming up.
It's scary, yeah. And these people are going to be voting if they're not already. And when we're old and in a nursing home, trying to find our teeth, they're going to be in charge. That is really scary.
Okay,
hey, real quick, we only got a minute. New York Times, did you hear about this? The New York Times scrubbed details from this article about Obama. He had an off-the-record meeting, and they put that stuff in, supposedly. I don't know why they had an off-the-record meeting and wrote an article. That doesn't seem to make sense. But anyway, they did. And Obama was talking about why he didn't respond appropriately to the San Bernardino attacks. And you know what his excuse was? Did you hear this one?
Tell me.
His excuse was he misread it because he doesn't watch enough cable television.
Oh, yes. And they let him get away with that.
Yes. Well, what's so bad is, like I say, they scrubbed it from the article because he said it. They had it in the article, in the online edition on the web. And then when it went to print, somebody said, oh, no, you can't put that in the paper. So they got rid of it in the paper. And then, of course, they went and scrubbed it off of the website, too. But it was in there for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, we're out of time. What a country we live in these days. You want to take us out, Ken?
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. Ronald Wilson Reagan, our 40th president of these United States.
That's it. Jeez. We're out of here. We'll see you next time.